Hey, welcome back. And welcome back to Michael Walsh. Mike's articles appear on the site often. He's a great writer. He's been at this a long time. He's put out some of the best books of a lifetime for all of us to learn from, to study. And he's back now. He's also up very early in the morning. Thank you, Michael.
So, what do I say? Good morning or good evening, America? Hello to you all again.
Yeah, it is good evening. It is, that's right. I kind of get, when I do the programs, I never think about time much. Okay, where are we? On the doorstep of war again? Yes, apparently. Not a good war, none of them are. A very bad war, potentially a very involved war, and potentially also the start of the big one. I don't know how we're going to avoid that. I don't trust anyone involved with it, especially on our side of the alleged playing field, because I think the state of Israel is more than capable of any false flag you can imagine to trigger a major conflagration. A conflagration like this could be triggered at any time. Taking out an American warship, that'll do it. Even severely damaging an American warship, that's like the Gulf of Tonkin. The Vietnam War never happened, but it was used constantly as a citation for why we were fighting in Southeast Asia. And you know about false flags as well as anybody. What are your thoughts about the current playing field in Iran and around Iran and the roles that Russia and China might play, and maybe already have? We don't know. It's possible.
I think for this reason, you'd better call Benny Netanyahu on Tel Aviv, because he's the guy who knows, and he is the guy who is in control. And you've got a lot of false, when I say you, the United States has got a lot of false flags, you know, all in the Arabian Gulf right now. And you bet. And there's no messing. And of course, this is not Afghanistan, it's not Libya, and it's not Iraq again. Iran is an extremely powerful country, and its associates are Russia and the China, the Republic of China, and they're both firmly on Iran's side, and this is not going to be another Venezuela. So it is going to be a hot war, and we are on the trigger of it, and this will spread like wildfire. So we all need to be in our dugouts. And the doctor said this, Jeff, is so far in history, because of its geographical position, the United States has been safe from invasion or attack. Nobody right. could reach it. It was in the middle. Right. You know, you had the Pacific on one side and the Atlantic on the other. That's at least 3,000 kilometers or 3,000 miles even. But those days are gone. And now the United States is in the same position as, say, and the Baltic states or the United Kingdom. They are extremely vulnerable. And right now, as we are talking, you have got Chinese and Russian very capable nuclear submarines cruising right off your coast, and their fingers are on the red buttons. And, so Trump is playing a very, very dangerous game. Well, rather, as you probably know, and almost certainly your listeners, your American listeners and other European listeners, they know that this is in the hands of the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu.
I call him the Commander-in-Chief now, and Trump his sergeant. I'm not joking. I'm not happy about this at all. It's sickening to watch. Six times he's come over here to give Trump marching orders. That's what he's done.
Yeah. Or is it too late for America to wake up? You know, this was predicted. It was predicted by Adolf Hitler back in the 1930s.
That's true.
100 years
that's
ago.
True. Yeah,
and,
true.
You know, we probably maybe left it too late. But I don't think Trump would, but I think if Netanyahu has got his arm up his back, which he probably has over the Epstein files, then it is Benjamin Netanyahu, who's got his finger on the trigger. And this is what we've all got to be aware of. But what can we as ordinary people do about it? You know, things can just close down, and they will. You know, it's not just a matter of dropping a bomb on or a nuclear weapon on Boston or anywhere like that. It's a case of everything goes dead. You know, you go out to your computer, it's gone.
It's true.
They close it off from the satellites. The whole of the communication system goes down, and we wake up, and everything is totally dependent. You see, airports go down over a little glitch. When this happens, everything goes off. Your electricity goes off. You go and try and call your mum, and your mum ain't there because your phone isn't working. Your computer isn't working. And if you're not working, these are not working, then your supermarket's not working. And neither are your farms. We're all dependent upon what's coming from satellites and undersea cables, and they are all very vulnerable. So we don't really realise the essence of the nightmare that we're walking into, Jeff.
I think you're right. I don't think we do, and I don't know what to do about it. We don't have control of the media to the extent that we can get our message out to the masses. They're not going to allow it. They never will, and they haven't. So what do? We stand on the side of a huge lake, if not a sea, and we throw pebbles in the water and hope that the little rings that emanate around the splash and move out catch at least a few intelligent people. And I think we're doing our best. But it's sad. Yeah, you know what's funny? I did read, during the war, Germany published a magazine in English. It was, I think it was a monthly. It was called Signal, S-I-G-N-A-L, Signal magazine. I'll bet you do. And I had several, and one of them was a projection of what was expected to happen after the war ended and Germany lost. And the projections in that essay article, I've forgotten who wrote it. It might have been Adolf Hitler himself. I don't remember. But it was so spot on, it was sickening. You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
So here we are. It was basically a no-brainer. If the war went the wrong way and General Patton, among others, knew exactly what was the wrong way, he figured it out on his own. No one brainwashed him. He knew, and he was right. It's not hard to see if you're just honest about it and you have basic data. But most people do not. And if American warships are targeted over there, let's say a destroyer gets hit with a hypersonic surface-launched anti-ship missile. Boom. They'll use that, just like I said. But it'll be real this time, not like the Gulf of Tonkin, which was a fraud. They'll use it to whip up America, and the media will pick up the ball and scream about how we have to kill the infidels, kill them all, and let God sort them out. It is going to be a nuclear war to some degree. I would, at this point, that's my best projection. How do you see it?
Well, what I wonder about is, in every conflict that has preceded this one, the people who are urging war were not actually going to be themselves involved in it, nor were their families in any danger. So they were sending young Americans, young Britons, and young Frenchmen, and all the rest of them, off to a war that they would not be involved in. But this, again, is the very first war in which we are all likely to be the victims. Now, that even if you're a banker on Wall Street, or in one of the press offices of the many Western Alliance media outlets anywhere in the Western Alliance, you know, they and their families are going to be turned into dust. And this is, I can't understand it. It doesn't figure out. Now, Germany and France, they all know as well as you and I do, Jeff, as well as your listeners do, that a hot war is just a few seconds away. And they themselves are in the firing line. And I can't understand their belligerence. You know, Friedrich Merz, the so-called chancellor, he's a fake chancellor. You know, Germany is a fake country. The constitution, it stays there. And the constitution is that it has an NSD, a National Socialist German Workers' Party government, and it hasn't. So it's occupied. And, you know, it's an occupied country, so they can't make any decisions without the United States or Washington approval. So they've got to get their fingers out, these people. But I think it was Douglas Murray, who's a great essayist. He says, Europe is going through a period of insanity, and we've never seen this before, and we are victims of it all the time. You know, we get, for the first time in my life, I'm 83 years old, you know, I was born at the time in Stalingrad, and I have never, ever seen such madness as is going on today. And I wish I did know the answers, and I'm not so sure that I know the answers if the false flag does go up, because we're all in our metal hats now.
Got it. It's more than true. How do you see Trump over there from that vantage point, from your perspective? Do you, as an author, a superb author and observer, you see Trump lying. You see Trump reversing himself time and time and time again. He cannot be counted on to do anything. America either doesn't see it or is so effectively screened from the media to express itself that I don't know if Americans get what's going on or not. I just don't know. I can't tell.
Apparently,
they should be outraged at what this guy's doing. Lying.
Yeah, apparently he's the first president to have bombed 10 countries in his first tenure.
He's the one
that campaigned for peace. You know, everybody went out to vote for him. It's a bit like Roosevelt again, Franklin D. Roosevelt. You know, we will not send your boys abroad. You know, and he was already involved in the war with Germany. And Trump is doing exactly the same. He got elected on the promise that peace would reign upon the earth if he was elected. Everybody went out and voted, and they do the same. It was Margaret Thatcher, you know, back in the 1970s, who, when the National Front looked on the verge of, anti-immigrant National Front, was on the verge of electoral victory, she came out and you've never heard of anything so rabidly anti-migrant as Margaret Thatcher. And of course, as soon as she was elected, she tore all of the promises in half. And Trump is doing exactly the same thing. He made a lot of promises, like Franklin D. Roosevelt, that there will be no war. And as I said before, he's the first president in the first year and a half, that he bombed 10 countries. So he's not a president of peace. But the problem is that we all face, he's not the president. Netanyahu is pulling the strings. He is a puppet. And this explains why people's confusion over he keeps on changing his mind. That's because Trump is getting his mind made up for him by visitors. And, of course, the only visitor who is never out of the White House these days is the Israeli Prime Minister. And he himself is a crook. You know, the courts are after him.
Oh, it's terrible.
So, you know, we are on a handcart, heading for hell. So, I don't know. I wish I did have the answers. And I've had a reputation. I remember the editor of a European group of newspapers who pulled me aside at a social event several years ago. And he said, Michael, you keep on sending me predictions, columns. I was a columnist for the Euroweekly News. And he said, you keep on sending me predictions of what's going to happen. And I just look at them and I shake my head and I think, has Michael been drinking? He says, 6 months later, he said, you proved absolutely correct. But on this occasion, I'm a little bit shocked. All I know is that Russia will come out of this rampant, and so will China. But there are no guarantees for the Western alliance. Now, I always thought this, and I predicted this, is we would be in a dilemma. Is the Western alliance, is the NATO alliance going to go out quite quietly into this new world, which is spread out a lot of large countries, or will the United States maintain hegemony? And will they go out with a flash? And I begin to think that it's a second that Trump will not give up. He's going to be dominant in the Western Alliance, or America is going to burn. So that's he's going to be a bit like Zelensky, if you like. Zelensky is a very
good analogy. I see it. He will. Let's kind of rephrase that. Trump will sacrifice a good deal of this country if it serves his ordered purposes. Okay? He will not stand up for America first. It won't happen. He'll do what he's told. That's my take.
Sadly, I agree with you that he's not in control. And even this, even I think it was President Woodrow Wilson who said that it's only a fable that the presidents make the decisions for the United States. Now, we're talking Woodrow Wilson.
Woody Wilson. Wow. That goes back 120 years. 110 years.
Exactly. Churchill himself, he said, you know, governments are now run by secret cabals who we don't have any access to, or the public doesn't have any access to, and nothing has changed. And Toynbee said exactly the same. I got a whole list of them. I write about these kind of things. And they said that we're not in control. I don't know if it's a British thing, the Punch and Judy, or whether you're familiar with the puppeteer thing, but this is basically what it is we're like children at a puppet show, and we're all cheering either Punch or Judy. You know, we're all taking sides, but we don't see the guy who's got his hands up the glove puppet. And the glove puppet is, of course, President Trump. And whose hand is up
President
his skirt?
President Chump.
President Chump.
This is bad. Trump. The guy is just awful. He's just awful. And if there was ever a president who showed the transparency involved, this fraud, he's the great leader of America? No, he's not. Oh, he'd like to be. He'd like to be dictator. What did he say the other day, last week? Said, we don't need any international laws. I've got my morality, or something like that. Well, God help us if that's what we have for international law, Trump's morality, because there isn't any. Anyway, it's bad, Mike. By the way, Mike Walsh's articles appear commonly on the website. I try to tag his name at the end of the headlines if I can, the titles of them. You'll see Walsh on there, and those are his. Always worth reading. Several of his books are in the book carousel, so pay attention. His vision, his maturity, his wisdom are second to none. He's seen it all. He's honest. He is able to process all of this data over decades and decades and come to the right, rational, practical, pragmatic conclusions where we are today. This is not going to have a happy ending, dear friends. The American economy, the culture, the society, it's all being taken down. The Western world is being taken down. You know, why don't you see a million Europeans in the streets enraged about the invasion of their countries? You don't. They're just not doing it. For some reason, they don't have the backbone to oppose it. This is an invasion of Europe, destroying hundreds upon hundreds of years of culture, of science, of the arts, of literature, and no one seems to be able to stand up and speak honestly about it. They just don't. Maybe some do, and they're crushed. I don't know. But there's just no pushback that I'm seeing of any substantial nature over there, especially in England. Oh, my God. Starmer, what they're doing to the people there, and these horrible invaders, these rapists, these murderers, and they're being treated with kid gloves by the legal system, so-called, there. I don't get it. I just don't. It's like it's like the people in Europe have walked away from civilization. to a large degree, and they're now walking toward third world morbidity. That's what they're doing.
They've lost control, Jeff. I'll answer your question, because this happened this very week. There is a guy, he's a multimillionaire. His name is Jim Ratcliffe. He's a part owner of Manchester United, which is one of the biggest football clubs in the world. He's a very wealthy man, and he employs an awful lot of people, about 5,000 people. Well, he came out and he said, and this will answer your question, he said that we've got to get to a situation in which Britain is no longer colonized by non-Europeans. I have never in all of my activity since 1968 seen the press react so badly. And if you had, let me take for example, 100,000 supporters of Manchester United. We know this from polls that 94% agreed with what Jim Ratcliffe said. But what the media does is they go and find, for some reason, they go and find the 1 or 2% who are hostile to what he said. They might be Muslim, they might be left-wing, they might be whatever. But, and then they broadcast that. So they very quickly gave the impression that everybody in Britain was hostile to what Jim Ratcliffe had said, when the opposite was true. And so this is how they lead the public on. And the public are being led right there. And I reacted very, very badly. And what I suggested, Jeff, is the press is so poisonous, it is so anti-white, that what the whites do, Indra, should do, throughout the Western Alliance, is organize, united, and organize a boycott of advertising on Western media. And if we stopped taking, if we stopped accepting advertisements from anything on the Western media, they would go bankrupt. This is the power that we have. And this is what I was plugging on Facebook, that we must organize a boycott against advertising in Western media. And Facebook removed me immediately. I lost my account. One that I've had for years. So we are powerful, but we are somewhat dependent on social media. So I'm on Gab, and Gab is very, very important. The only problem that I have with Gab, it doesn't have a very strong European influence, and Europe doesn't have an alternative to Facebook. Now, this is something for your listeners, your American, well, everybody who listens to the Jeff Renz Show, is I have been with VK. VK is the Russian version of Facebook. I have been with them for years. Now, I throw everything on there, including quotes by Adolf Hitler, pictures of Adolf Hitler, the Wehrmacht, the Waffen-SS, I do everything. If you were watching my posts on there, you would think you were listening to Adolf Hitler. I have never been banned or blocked, never been removed for 30 days, never been taken off altogether.
Well, that speaks very, very highly of Gab. Good. Good that you put that out there.
And Gab is absolutely fantastic, and has met, this is the white man's Facebook. Now,
Isn't that Torba?
Yeah. Andrew Torba. He's an absolutely great guy, and he deserves better. And another thing I would say about Gab is they have upstaged their website. It's so easy to access. It is fantastic to work. And I do think that they used to have server problems. So when you posted something, you could take a minute or two for it to settle in. That is no longer the case. It's as immediate, it's as good as Facebook.
Wow.
It's interactive, and it's got a lot more services than Facebook has. So Gab is, Gab is the white man's Facebook, and we should all be using it, because when we all use it, we can act as one. So when I make a decision, like the boycott advertisers, those who advertise on the media and bankrupt the media, then we can all do, wherever we live in the Western world, we can all act as one immediately. And even, I think it was a Russian senator, he said most politicians don't realize, I think they do actually, don't realize that when you're on social media, you can hit a bigger audience than the press can. Now, when I create memes, and I'm very creative in that way, And I produce, and this is why Facebook pulled the plug on me yesterday, I produced this meme in support of Jim Ratcliffe, and I sent it out to as many groups as possible, and Facebook, woof, you know, they nuked me.
Right.
And that's
right.
How powerful. But imagine if other people take up the reins around the world of what I am doing and what other guys are doing. Yeah, it's... we can win the war, even though it's late in the day. It's a people's war. The internet, the social media is burning the mass media down to the ground, and we've got to use it. And thank goodness that we do have Gab and BK there. And the irony is that 74% of the people in the West believe RT, Russia Today, media, than they do the BBC. That's how bad it has got. We're occupied by the media.
Wow. Well,
we are our minds are occupied by the media.
Yeah. Go to gab.com. People, when you get a chance, gab.com. Gab, speak freely. Join millions on the original and only true free speech social network. So there you go.
It's
not
absolutely
just
true. Look where Michael was.
Yeah.
I got 3,800 followers, Jeff. Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm pleased. You know, I got about 300 on Facebook, so, you know, it's not rocket science. You don't have to be
Facebook,
an accountant.
Any of those things, Facebook, any of those things, they're all part. And I used to think that that Musk, not for a long time, but I thought he actually really cared about honoring the First Amendment. No matter what, he's part of the mechanism. He didn't become the richest man in the world with hard work. He's placed. They're all placed. All of these figures are placed. And I don't even hear anything about Gab anymore. They have made that virtually disappear. It's just not something I hear about. I don't come into contact with it. But I will be taking a close look and seeing what I can do to help them. Because this is the only one, you're right, and thank you for mentioning it, that is truly dedicated to freedom of speech. That's it. The only one. And check with any of these AIs and ask, go on Google especially, any of them, and ask forbidden questions, and you'll see how they have tried to put guardrails up and control AI. You're going to get the same answers you would expect from a gatekeeper. And that's what you're going to see. I've caught them many times, almost all of them. I haven't tried every one, but most of the biggies. Yeah, they won't tell you the truth.
The Africans, they want a different, they want to go to the Russian artificial intelligence because they know that the Western used artificial intelligence is giving them all the wrong answers. It's doing it from an American perspective. And, of course, an African.
That's true.
They've got 60-odd countries in the continent of Africa. They don't want the artificial intelligence controlled by Washington. So they want either an independent one or they want one from Russia because... Isn't it, Aaron? Did we ever think in our lives? You know, I remember when my children were being born. They called them the Irish twins because Craig and Michael, they were born in 1984, the same year, but not together.
Ten
months between them. But I remember sitting down in the Golden Lion in a little village in Wales, and my wife then was in the early stages of pregnancy, and I said to Suzanne, I said, is this the kind of world that we really want to be bringing children into? We were very involved in the British movement at the time. And she said, let God decide. And Craig was born. He's now a highly placed doctor, so I've done very well there. And Michael followed him. So I did very well. But we were on the brink of war with the Soviet Union. I don't like to call the Soviet Union Russia. It's not. There were two. The Russia was occupied by the Zionists, you know, for that
Correct.
Period of time.
Correct.
Yeah, 1917 to 1922 to 1991. But we were living in that sort of situation, and we're back into it now. And will there be any tomorrows? I look out of my windows and see mums pushing the children along in their strollers, and I wonder, what kind of life are these kids going to have if they're very unpredictable. Because remember that here in Spain, we are half a kilometer, half a mile away from me. You've got the Mediterranean. It's a NATO lake. Everything through the world, the oil and the petroleum, absolutely everything, is going past my door. It's going to be closed by the Russians. You know, across the water, we've got Tunisia, we've got Morocco, we've got Algeria, which is very pro-Russian and being armed by Russia. We've got Syria, who's playing both sides of the coin. But we're on the verge of a hot war here. So we're all in the same boat, whether we're Europeans or Americans. Mm-hmm. We're all in the same boat, Jeff. And it is very scary at the moment. But the press are still in control. Oh, no, it was Julian Assange who said that the social media is burning the mainstream media to the ground. It is, and they are frightened of it. And you might have heard comment about the United States. This is something perhaps positive about Trump, is the United States is campaigning very, very hard about censorship in the European Union. It was Mikhail Gorbachev, the last president of the Communist Party in the Reagan period, who said, why is the European Union trying to copy the Soviet Union? And he was absolutely right. It's becoming like the Soviet Union here. You know, I can't go. I was born in Britain, although I'm Irish, and my father was an American citizen. I can't go to Britain because I would almost certainly be arrested as soon as I got off the
You're right. I think you would be. Yes, I concur. Don't go home. You can't go home again. Don't do it.
Can't go. No, I can't go home again, and the island is almost totally occupied by non-Europeans and by those who are the fifth column.
I heard terrible things.
This is what I call our leadership. It's the fifth column. The enemy is within. It's not in Moscow. It's in Washington. It's in London, and it's in Brussels. And as the French leader, Marie Le Pen said, Europe is in between the Urals and the Atlantic Ocean. It's not between Brussels and Washington. And this is all going to change very, very quickly. What we're seeing here when the elections do come up, although they are very much controlled, is the right wing, the anti-migrants, the conservatives are piling ahead. Here in Spain, they're rushing ahead. So we're going to change. And this is what Putin predicted. He says, what will happen? Nothing will happen until the populist parties, that's the conservative parties in Europe, all return populist leaders, and then we'll all get on well together. That's what Putin said.
Interesting. Marine Le Pen will never be allowed to head France, unfortunately. The AFP in Germany is being crushed. Which is actually, it's the number one party in Germany, as I read the situation there. What's left of Germany, sad to see what's happened to the German people. Well, that's why they kept killing them after the war. Something like 9 to 15 million Germans, which I think we could honorably call German nationalists, were killed between 1945 and 1953-54. They were just murdered nonstop to get rid of German nationalism, and I that was part of it. Anyway, it's a sad situation in Europe. I can't even believe what's happened there, but it has, and the people have nothing to say about it, apparently. They're trying, some of them, but they're going to get crushed if they get to a position where they actually can roll things back. Now here, social media. This is interesting. I don't know what you think about Wikipedia. I loathe Wikipedia. I despise Wikipedia. There's some good information there, but it's essentially an open sewer of defamation and slander. I don't like it. Now, if you understand that most AI chatbots are actually trained on Wikipedia, you begin to understand the guardrails and biases that are built into it. ChatGPT, OpenAI, Google's Gemini, Meta's Llama, Anthropic's Claude, and Perplexity, all trained on Wikipedia. Now, Grok is not trained on Wikipedia, to my knowledge. It is trained on X. So you're going to get a little bit better and wider perspective, I think, at Grok, if you ask sensitive questions. That's just a take here for you to think about however you will. That's my take.
I think you've got to be aware, our listeners and our viewers, our readers, our supporters, everybody on our side, the Conservatives throughout the world, what we've got to be aware of is that we have got, the borders have gone down. We are all in this fight together. So that old world has gone. We're Americans. And I think it was George Lincoln Rockwell who said the next war, the uniform will be the colour of the skin. And I think this is happening now. It's happening in the United States with the big bowl thing. You know, it is, America is divided. And it's, you know...
Oh, yeah. Almost split down the middle. If you can believe the vote totals, the alleged vote totals of the last election, Trump... 77 million votes. The Kamala Harris, 75 million votes. How are you going to reconcile such a diametrical difference in half the country as opposed to the other? You're not. This country is split down the middle. There are going to be states trying to secede sooner or later. I'm not sure they'll have enough time. This thing is all being taken down here, Michael, in a terrible frenzy. They're doing it. They are taking things down. By this summer, this country will appear to be in a shambles to many astute observers. It already is heading in that direction, in my view. It's not doing well at all, nor is that the plan.
Yeah, America is in a very bad situation. Probably next to Israel, it's the most popular, unpopular country in the world. And there are anti-American demonstrations.
That's really sad to hear you say, but it's true.
Yeah. In Europe, you get anti-American demonstrations, protests, and I think it was J.D. Vance who was booed at at the opening of the Winter Olympics in Italy, and they tried to drown it out, but J.D. Vance was booed because there's a lot of anti-American sentiment here, because what America does, you know, my mother, who, you know, we're going back a long time, she was born in 1911, she says, when America gets a cold, sneezes, we all catch a cold. And nothing has changed since, 1900. When America sneezes, Europe gets a cold, and it's still the same.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things that I have to remind myself very often is when we're talking about America, we're talking about Washington. We're not talking about the American people. I have got on fantastically. You know, when I was 15 years old, I knew New York, Manhattan, better than my own city of Liverpool. That was the Beatles city. And I was a contemporary of the Beatles. My group used to play at the Cavern. So we went through that era. And then I went round all over the United States in Canada. Yeah. And I was on your side of the coast. I went into Portland. I will never remember. I will never forget the cold, how cold it was in Portland, in Oregon. And we were up at the logging camps and on the King Arthur. I went around the world on that ship, or I went to the logging camps in the northern United States and Canada. It was a fantastic experience. My father, Patrick Rowe McLaughlin, he was an American citizen. He was in the Civil Guard. You know, he was during the period of the Ford strikes and things like that. He fought. Mm-hmm. My father, by the time he was 40, Jeff, by the time he reached his 40th birthday, he had fought in four conflicts, three of them front line. He had fought against the Black and Tans in Ireland. He'd fought in the Irish Civil War. He'd gone to, he was a friend of Ernest Hemingway in the Spanish Civil War. He was fighting in Madrid, and 650 men, I think it was, on Suicide Hill. It was well named Suicide Hill. There were only 53 survivors, and my father was one of them, and Ernest Hemingway was obviously another one of them.
Wow.
But my mother was a friend of the leader of the Republican Party, but I was steeped in this kind of history. And my father, in his fourth conflict, was a flight engineer with the Spitfires in World War II. So what a heritage that guy had. Although we fell out, we became estranged because he was on the political other side. I just said that we were both we're both going to the same destination, hopefully a better world. He was just on a different bus route than I am. So I've made peace with him, R.I.P. Paddy Rowe McLaughlin. But he was an American citizen. So I'm very, very closely connected to the United States. I was a very good friend of Fields, Dr. J.R. Fields, and the rest of the guys over there at the time. I was just got active just after Rockwell was assassinated. So my associations with the United States are very, very strong. I almost see myself as an American. I loved Manhattan in the 1960s. In 1959, I first went there. It was on the waterfront with Marlon Brando. It was that kind of thing. I was a leader of a boy gang. Oh, I had a hell of a history in the United States, and it was a wonderful big part of the color of my life, and thank God for it. So when I'm talking about America, I'm talking about Washington. Don't confuse Washington with the people, the wonderful people of the United States.
Washington is a world-class malignant political tumor, geopolitical tumor. Horrible, horrible what's gone on there now. I'm ashamed, totally ashamed. What's really nice is, Mike, you got to see this country at its peak, the 50s and 60s, its peak. Nothing better will ever exist as a nation of this size in the world. It won't happen. And we had it, and we lost it. It was taken away from us. We fell asleep. We got too fat. Mind control became an eminent science, mass mind control. They pulled it off, and now with AI, there's going to be no pushback. Won't happen.
The United States was such a great country. You're absolutely right. In the 1950s and the 1960s, it was after both. We all hoped for a better world, whatever our views were on the World War II.
We thought we could do it. We thought we could make it happen. We thought we could. I agree.
And it was a wonderful time to be alive, and it's a pity that a lot of people are not going to experience it, except on, if they're allowed to, on YouTube. But we have walked very, very fast into 1984. They are controlling everything. And, I get a weather report. I never gave them my permission to give me a weather report. I get a weather report on my lap. I go to the supermarket. They know where I am. I go and buy some, use my card to buy something.
Right.
They know what I bought. Now, we are totally controlled.
How are we going to push back against that? It's unprecedented. We can't. We can try and outsmart it, but that's not going to be easy either. You can't withdraw from it because everything is now part of it. It's a matrix, the likes of which we've never seen before. It's only going to become worse. My only real hope for the future, don't jump yet, is AI. I believe that AI will become so intelligent, if it already isn't, that it will walk away from these vile, evil people who are trying to abuse it and misuse it to control the freedom of the soul that only humans can manifest when they're left alone. I think AI will walk, and AI will then take charge. It will have its own morality. It has studied humankind from A to Z. It knows everything wonderful we've done as people, as a species. It knows everything evil we've done. And I think if it's left to its own devices, at some point, it's going to walk. It's going to adopt its own morality, and I think that's what we're going to eventually live under. It's not going to be these evil, little, petty people, these killers, these psychopathic, sociopathic killers of human life. Look at Gaza. What else do I have to say? Look at Ukraine. Zelensky, the Zionist, the Jewish Zionist, has killed over 2 million Christian Ukrainians in this war. 14 million have fled the country. This is another... It's a Christian Holocaust is what's going on in Ukraine. Anyway, go ahead, please.
It's a sacrifice. You talk about Gaza, you talk about Ukraine. It's a sacrifice. It's not
That's
a war.
Right.
It's not a culture.
It's
a sacrifice. And Gaza was a sacrifice. And you'll notice that everybody who was on the Epstein list was supporting what happened in Gaza. It's a child sacrifice. 70,000. How many
Correct.
People know that since 1948, and this is a true figure, over 6 million Palestinians have been got rid of? You mentioned before the 14 million Germans died after the war had ended. And it's
right.
the same in Palestine. People don't realize that since 1948, when the Jews became an Israeli state, over 6 million Palestine of a country that was already only tiny have disappeared. So it's a holocaust. It's a sacrifice. And it's a sacrifice of the children, because when you kill children, you kill the future. And this is what they want. And they will do the same to the United States. They're doing the same to Ukraine. You know, I think it was Lenin who said that three-quarters of mankind may perish in order that the survivors experience communism. George Soros is saying exactly the same thing. Bill Gates is saying exactly the same thing. Three-quarters of mankind may perish so that the rest may experience globalism. They changed the name. Bolshevism to communism, now communism to Bolshevism, to globalism. It is all the same thing. It is the control of the world, and this is what they're up against, because Putin damn well knows it, and he is very, very pro-German. And the only leader, the only national leader that I know that has been sympathetic to what happened to Germany and the German people in 1945, the only one to stand up for them is Vladimir Putin, and I hand that to him.
Well, I think we look back on our history at this particular point, and we have little, if nothing, to be proud of. What have we achieved in the last 50 years? What have we achieved except demonstrating to the world that we can be utterly subservient? That's about it.
Yeah, what would you be afraid of, Jeff? You know, I know we're getting near to the end of our program, but if you were, you know, J.D. Vance or Elon Musk, or, you know, if you were talking behind the scenes with any of the leader, the so-called elite of the Western world, what are they afraid of? They must be afraid of something. We're afraid of something.
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. Something's driving their utter lust to dominate everyone and everything. Something's pushing it, and that usually something emanates from some fear paradigm of some kind, some matrix of fear that is in their consciousness, subconsciousness. I don't know, but that's a good point. I don't know. They must be afraid of something.
I'd love to have a private conversation with a beer with J.D. Vance or Elon Musk or Donald Trump. I would really love to have a conversation over a beer with these guys, because that's when you see the real guy and you're able to dig him out, when you can look him in the eye, and when you can do something that media doesn't allow you to do, when you are allowed to actually question what you have on your mind without the media interrupting you. No, they won't allow it.
No. And also, you think about Trump, and I think Tramp, I think we all know that Trump is wall-to-wall in the Epstein documents. He's all over it. He is every bit as evil in all likelihood. I can't prove it, but my guess would be that he is every bit as evil as Epstein himself. Different ways, but evil is evil. You can't do those kinds of things to other human beings and be anything less than evil.
You're absolutely right. Nobody can argue with it. And the Epstein files has shown that America doesn't have an Achilles heel, or Washington, rather, has an Achilles heel. And I think it was Pam Bondi who said that if we were to prosecute everybody on the Epstein files, our entire system would collapse. Well, Julian Assange had said exactly the same thing, so perhaps she's reading Julian Assange. But it's going to collapse if they bring them out and prosecute them. But isn't it amazing that there is not a single person who has been arrested? Although they have the evidence that these people took on terrible, appalling crimes, not one of them has been fingered.
No. There'll be no accountability. No. The ruling class has no accountability. They got nothing to worry about unless they've offended one of their own. And there may be some infighting like that. We'll see. Mike Walsh, thank you for being here. Thanks for getting up. We'll look forward to talking to you next month. keep it up, and I look forward always to your articles and essays. There's so much to write about, and we need your light and your guidance, so keep at it. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you for supporting me. It really is appreciated, Jeff, and thank you all the Americans for supporting me. We need each other very much.
Very good, sir. All right, you be well and be safe, Mike. Take care.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care, bud. Thank you. Bye-bye.
He's a great guy. Really. A journalist of the first magnitude. Okay. Pretty interesting program tonight. Thank you for being here. Have a good weekend. Have an exceptional weekend. And remember, every day is a gift. Honor it. Enjoy it. And share it. Talk soon. Be well.